Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Mind Matters with Jean-Luc and Nick. And so, obviously, tonight it's going to be a different session. Jean-Luc is out of commission. He can't talk too much, so he's going to join in and give us his comments here and there throughout tonight's session. But tonight's session is again about self-care. I'll explain a bit about what we'll talk about today after I talk about just some announcements before we start. So the first announcement is what's happening this week. So tomorrow at 7 o'clock, we have a TBT session for those who are doing TBT as well at 7 o'clock. Then at 8 o'clock, we have a power up with myself. And then on Thursday with dinner with Jean-Luc and Nick is going to be me making dinner. Who knows what I'm going to make? I have an idea what I'm going to make, but I'll tell you guys on Thursday. And yes, Nick will cook. I made my own dinner tonight too. Woohoo. And then on Thursday night at 8 o'clock, we have Keeping It Real with Kieran. She'll be doing a session about getting your garden set for summer. Then on Friday at 1:30 is Power Up with Kieran. 7 o'clock this Friday is Pub Quiz Night with Helen and myself. So we'll be having and Jean-Luc by that time should be semi a bit better. And then by on Saturday at 10 a.m. we have Power Up with Jean-Luc and Nick. And then Sunday at 7 o'clock, Power Up with Jean-Luc and Nick again at 7 o'clock p.m. Of course, I'm trying to teach step again this week. So for those of you who missed some of the step classes, I'm trying to do them again this week because I've had a migraine last week, so it was tough for me to actually teach. I actually have one right now. I have a headache again right now after class. I started another one right now. So yeah, it's been bad. It's just I keep getting headaches. So I'm on medication right now. So I'm doing a bit better because it's numbed a little bit. And I have Keiko's here to keep me company. And Jean-Luc right there.
Apparently, I'm chopped liver, but
I said it, Jean-Luc, right there.
Keiko's is there, so
Yeah.
that's good.
And if you want to do step, don't forget to go to jeanlucandnick.com/step to go register. And also, you can join us on April 20th at 11 a.m. We'll be doing a birthday celebration for Jean-Luc and doing step in Zoom. We're trying to get 100 people to join us. So the registration is going to go up soon in the next little while. So probably in April sometime. So when it goes up, I will send out the link. So please invite your friends because it'd be great to have everybody join us on that day. We're trying to get 100 people. And then the following day on April 21st, we'll be doing a CN Tower climb with P3. So again, if you're interested in climbing a CN Tower or if you want to donate to the WWF, just let us know. We'll just send us some information or an email, I mean. And Jean-Luc and myself are also doing Rustic Mama this summer on there's still spots left on May 31st and June 14th sessions. We just got our cat sitters, our kitty sitters figured out yesterday for those the weekends we're away. So, also don't forget to send us topics or suggestions for topics and submit your weight for the P3 weight loss tournament. It will be updated probably tomorrow. I just didn't have time today, but those will be updated tomorrow for all of you. So, on that note, let's kick off tonight's session. So, I'm just going to close a few things on my desktop here because I do not want them open. Perfect. Okay, so tonight's session, we're kind of on a series we've been doing this month, Jean-Luc and I, in the last little while. When our first session, we were talking about self-care and how it's important, why it's important to carve out some time in your busy career, your busy life to actually have self-care. And we didn't talk about types of self-care. We didn't, dive into that because people know what they are. We're just kind of generally just saying, what self, why self, why you need to create that time for yourself. And our last session was showing ways to improve your time, organizing your time, finding efficiencies in your time so you can have more time to do your own self-care. So you have more time in your day to actually do other things than these menial tasks that you're doing all the time. Today's session is a third facet of it. So we've never talked about, the actual self-care tasks or things you can do because you know what your favorite self-care are. I can sit here tonight and just say, let's go get some massages. Let's go get some, you go get your hair done, go get your mani and pedi done, go horseback riding. I can give you all these suggestions. What do you need for all these? Money. And sometimes that's a big issue with wanting to do self-care. I would love to get a massage, but I can't afford it. Or I would love to do stuff like that. I can't afford it. And so tonight's session is actually about finances. We're actually going to talk to you guys for the first time ever what Jean-Luc and I did back in the day when we first met to actually pay off our debt where we were able to actually buy a house and now live where we live today and are able to travel and do what we do today. So I'll actually talk to you guys through it. And I'll also show you guys again our budget sheet. So I'll share a screen, I'll show you our budget sheet, what we do every month to make sure that we have enough money going forward. And I'm hoping that if some of you guys see this, it might give you some ideas to help you tackle your own financial situations and maybe think of ideas of things you can do to help you move along. So first things first, I'll kind of give you guys a background of where we started. So let's rewind back 16 years, little Nick and little Jean-Luc. Well, maybe not little, but younger versions of us. We're walking around and we met. And when Jean-Luc and I met, we both met with debt. I had a lot of debt from university because I went to university for 5 years. And my mom is calling. And so I had university for 5 years. And so I had, a lot of debt from that. School's expensive. And so I had debt from that. And I could never live from ho at home either when I was going to university because my home was in Sudbury. So I always had to pay for rent or pay, wherever I was going. So I had a substantial amount of debt when I finished school. Jean-Luc also had debt. And he's been very open about the fact that in the past he had gambling issues, gambling problems. And so when I met him, is his debt was, he had a lot of credit card debt. He had loans. He had a lot of different debts that he had accumulated throughout his life. And so when we met and got together, first of all, he hid his debt from me. That was one of the things that happened. So one of the first things that I would suggest is communication. You have to be open. You have to be, willing to talk about these things, especially if you're sp planning to spend the time with that person for the rest of your life.
And I want to little add a little to that, if you don't mind, hun. That debt that I had accumulated prior to meeting Nick had actually, at one point, been taken care of by my mom. She had helped me take care of a debt that I had previous to meeting Nick. So when I met Nick, it was new debt that I should not have actually, well, you can't ever say you shouldn't have done it, but I wish that I wouldn't have done it, let's just say. So it was an accumulation of many, many years of struggling with that gambling addiction.
So, and I'm gonna leave you on thing, hun, just because if you want to talk, you just unmute yourself. Okay. So we both met, we had a lot of debt. He didn't want me to, first of all, to know about it. But again, when we talked about this in the past, where finally he told me, we sat down, we started creating a budget for ourselves and a plan. So we had a 5-year plan. So we literally sat down and said, for the next 5 years, we're going to figure out how we tackle all of our debt, everything we have, so that we can also put money away to buy a house. And we did it in 4 years, not 5. So what we did is literally what I'm going to suggest you guys do today when I show you my financial sheet. We literally listed out every single debt we had, every single one, every debt we had that we had, whatever it was, a loan, credit card debt, whatever. And we also pr listed out the interest rate on all of them on this sheet. And then what we did is I actually had laid out with every month going forward for the next 12 months what amount he would pay on each to figure out which one he would pay first. So say for example his your amount to pay per month for your bills is 500. I would then look at all the amounts that we owe and say, okay, 500, what's after you pay the minimum payment and the ones that are the lowest interest, what's the highest one? Okay, put the most of your payments on there. And so that's what we did. We first sat down, listed out all our debts we had, and figured out what needed to be paid off, what needed to be done. And Jean-Luc at the time when I met him had a lot of credit cards from Sears, good old Sears. He had an IKEA credit card, and a lot of these credit cards had, 29% interest, 26% interest. They were very high interest credit cards. But he also had, and I'll be honest, he had also owed the money to the government as well. He had back money to the government, which he was also trying to pay off. But that interest rate for that one was 3%. But because it was the government, he's like, well, I have to pay the government. So he was always paying that one the most and not handling Sears or the other card. So I literally said, Han, look what you're doing here. If we change the way you're paying stuff, these ones will go, and then you don't have to pay extra interest here anymore. When you pay off your first card, the interest you're paying on that one is gone now. So you're no longer paying anything extra on that card. You're done. Then you move on to the next one that's the highest interest. You slowly chip off that one the most, and then you get rid of that one. You close it and you get rid of it. And you move on to the next one. And that's what we did. We listed out all of our debt. We created a 12-month plan, and each month where we would pay off which amount. And then we would calculate because I, again, my Excel spreadsheets or my Google Sheets, which I'll show you guys in a bit, allow me to kind of plan out what amounts I would pay and what I would have near the end. So for 4 years, Jean-Luc and I did not go on many vacations. We sacrificed a lot of, we couponed, we scrimped, we tried to make sure to spend the least amount of money. And we know we're talking about how desire has to be there for your weight loss. Desire has to be there for financial security. If you don't want that financial, if you don't want it, you won't do it. If you don't want to know what's going on with your finances, just like you don't want to, if you have blinders for your health, you'll have the same blinders happen for your financial health as well. And it's very important because financial health, your finances bring so much stress in your life. If your finances aren't doing well, like think back to a situation where you were short on money, or you weren't sure if something was going to happen where you were going to lose some money. Like these situations always bring stresses. And I can bet you each of us in this room tonight, and those of you watching out there, and you can probably say in chat, me, actually, I want to see it. Say it in chat because I'm really curious. Who has had an argument with someone before, either a spouse, a friend, or a family member about money? In chat, say me anywhere you're watching, or raise your hand if you're watching in Zoom. I have. I think we all have. We all have had arguments at some point. So it's a very big, it's a topic that's stressful. So if you yourself can't see what you're doing, can you imagine how much stress you're adding in your life all the time? If you never know what's really happening, and every time, every moment there's a money situation happening and you get stressed over and over again. And what has Kieran said? Stress is something that causes weight gain because your body gets into that stress mode and it tries to hold on to things, right? So we've established now how we started and how, you know, why it's important to do this. The importance behind having a financial, you know, a good financial health. So once we established, you know, our pattern of paying things off, what ended up happening is as the years wore on, so year one, IKEA was paid off, Sears was paid off, the highest interest rate one's gone. Then year two, we tackled, he had a credit card that he had, that when he got was a 1% credit card. So we barely paid that one off for a year because it was a 1%, but then it went right back up to 15. So like, okay, now that one's 15%, let's tackle that one. So we slowly paid that one off. And eventually when we got to the end, Jean-Luc and I got to an agreement. First of all, we don't have multiple credit cards. We only actually have one credit card that we have that we share between the two of us. It's one account. We don't have any other accounts. That's a choice that I've made. I've seen too many situations where having too many credit cards leads to a lot of issues. So if that's something that, you know, you're in that situation right now and there's, you know, you're trying to get out of that situation, you know, that's one of the ways that we helped was by reducing the amount of credit cards we had. So now we're not tempted to use it. You know, you're tempted to use it in any way that, you know, if this one's out, we'll use that one or use that one. Another thing that we did is we also, throughout those 4 years that we planned and paid off debt, we started saving money. So as we were paying more of our debt, we were paying less in interest. And so we're slowly able to start saving some money. So we started putting money away. And we were lucky at the time, you know, at the time when we bought our home, we could get a 30-year mortgage. There was only a, you know, 5% down. The rules were a lot laxer. So we were so lucky to get into our home. But even when we got to our home, we scrimped for years there too. We are the best people to couponing. We had a coupon base, and we had a basement with like all this food everywhere. Like we were extreme couponers. I had a whole spreadsheet created about it, which I would trade coupons across the country. Like you think about it, I'm organized with P3 and Jean-Luc and Nick stuff. You should have seen my couponing days. I was organized like crazy. I had a whole sorting thing, alphabetical order, and I had like expiry dates everywhere. It was crazy. So we still saved when we first started our even our wedding. Our first wedding, we got married in 2011. We set a budget for that wedding.
Our
And
first wedding? You mean we had more than one?
we're supposed to be renewing our vows in two
Yeah, but
years.
that's the only wedding we've had, so
Well,
it's our wedding.
I'm saying our second one might not be as when we make that one more fancy. But our wedding that we had
Our wedding, not the
in
first one, our wedding.
2011, our wedding 2011. We actually saved on that one. We actually, even some of our friends were like, sorry, you're not bringing a boyfriend. You two are a couple tonight, our two girlfriends. We're like, you two are lesbians for the evening. You're not inviting your boyfriends. We can't afford it. Sorry. And we were honest with everybody. We said we can only afford a certain amount of seats. And I'm just, when I get my mindset to something and Jean-Luc was on board, we just set our limits. And that's what we do with everything we do. We set limits as to what we want to spend. If we start seeing that some things are getting out of hand, we always rein it in. So now we got to the house, right? We got the house. We saved money to purchase the house. We paid off a lot of our debt. We still had some debt in the home, but we realized that we wanted to do some house renos. And originally, when we Jean-Luc and I met, we were all on the mindset of let's save up money first, then do some work. But the thing is that our windows in our home were getting so bad, and we couldn't keep it going. So we're like, okay, you know what? We need to get them fixed. Let's get a loan. So that's when we actually got a loan for our actual windows at the house. So we had a lo loan then at that point. And then a few years later, we decided, you know what? We want to fix other things. So what we did is we went to get a line of credit. So the reason I bring up the line of credit is because it actually has been one of our saviors for the last years for us, because now we have our mortgage, line of credit, one credit card. That's all we have in debt. We have only those three, and that's what we put everything on. Our line of credit, there's a lot of room on it. I do not max it out. One of the things that I'm proud of myself and Jean-Luc and I've done in the 16 years we've been together, we've paid off the balance of our credit card every month except for 2 months. So we never spend above what we have. And this is something that I've done since we've met. We do not spend over our means, because otherwise then we have to start borrowing and you're spending too much and you can never get out of that negative spiral.
Another thing to even take into consideration is when you're looking at your credit cards. Look at what type of credit card you have. Is it a point accumulating credit card? Can you get points on it? Is it a cashback credit card? Is it a travel credit card? Those are little incentives that I know it sounds silly, but you can get things out of it. So if you are a type of person that pays your credit card off monthly, we don't use cash. We use credit card for Tim Hortons for everything, but we know that we pay it off at the end of the month. We always have no balance on it, so we're not paying interest on it, but we're gaining points. So, for example, we could get hotel rooms because ours is a travel credit card. I sound like really weird right now. I can hear my voice and it's very strange.
It's Kermit.
So the travel credit card really helps a lot because it saves us in the long run. You could use hotels, you could get car rentals. So keep those things into consideration. If you don't currently have one, go look for one right now. Go see if there's something available at your bank or with another bank that you could do a transfer, because sometimes you get better interest, you transfer the balance, and you get points because it is worth it it's worth it for you.
So for Jean-Luc and I, for example, we are going to Montreal this summer. We just booked our hotel today, and we have the whole one night of our hotel's free because our travel reward card had enough points to pay that off. So for us, so our trick for us is, because our credit card is never has a balance, we paid off all the time. So we just get points for free. We don't ever pay the anything. The only time we had to pay once was because I forgot. And the other time was because our friends used our credit card and we couldn't pay off their balance. And so they owed us the interest. So there's two times that happened in the entire 16 years. And what it's done for us, and if it's something you can do, it allows us to accumulate points, because we have been on a vacation for 10 days in Florida for free ones, all on points, hotels, flights, everything that we got. So if you're not a points collector, if it's something that you don't do today and you think, oh, I just don't want to bother, I'm telling you, there is some value in earning points in certain situations. Like, we love our PC points. We are big PC point fans. We love getting those. We love whenever we go, our credit card is a travel rewards card, right? So for us, every dollar we spend, we get points that we can then use towards travel. And not just that, for us, our travel rewards card has all the travel insurance. So when we travel, like we do, we travel a lot, Jean-Luc and I. Every time we travel, we would have to get travel insurance. You know how much that's expensive that is. But because we have our card, we no longer pay for travel insurance because our card covers us now. So you have to think of these things. If you're a frequent traveler and you travel all the time, and then you always buy travel insurance, you're paying thousands of dollars every year for to travel, and then you realize I can get a credit card with $100 $100 a year cost. That's still $100 compared to $1,000. There's another savings right there. So you have to look at all the options you have and see what the best fit is for you.
And I honestly think when you're thinking of it, it's also thinking of if you're working and you have a job, if you are working and you have, like, you think, oh, I don't get paid a lot, my salary isn't that high. keep in mind your benefits that your employer gives you. If you're not taking advantage of the benefits that your employer is giving you, you're not
Missing out.
tapping into your salary. That is part of your salary. So your massage therapy, your prescription plan, all of that stuff is part of your salary. So keep those things in mind, because I think it's really important. As people, we think, oh, well, I just want to see money in my account. But there's a lot of times where there's money available to you and finances available to you that you're just not taking advantage of.
Another thing that we did too throughout the last those years is so we raised points, so that's another thing, paying off our credit card. And so we got our line of credit. So when we sold our home and bought our condo, there's a huge price difference between the two. So we went from our home in Brampton to our condo here. And so our bank at the time, instead of changing our mortgage, got us a larger line of credit to pay the difference for this condo. And we had additional room because of the equity in this condo. Like it's worth a lot more than our home. So because of that, when we bought our car in 2019, we also put our car on our line of credit. Why? Interest was lower than getting it at the dealership. So again, you need to look at what you, if you own your home and you have no mortgage, right? You paid off your mortgage almost paid off, and you're about to buy a car, and you go to the car dealership and they say they're going to charge you a 10% interest or 9%, whatever it is nowadays. But you also have home equity and you go to the bank and get a line of credit, that's at 3% or 5-6%. That's savings right there. So why are you buying your car with a loan from a car dealership when you can buy it with a line of credit? And then there's no lien on your car because a line of credit is your cash. It's you. You just have to start paying it off after that, like you would do your regular car payments. So this for us has allowed us to, again, for our car, our car's ours now. We paid it off the second we got it. It was ours. We owned it. And we've now, the last 2 years, every time we had extra money, pay more on a line of credit and slowly pay off more of the car. And so we constantly apply this mentality of where can we find a way, again, just like with our time, where can we find a way to save some money? Yeah, like Gwen said, if your employer matches your RSP contribution, that's free money. Jean-Luc at work is able to actually get TD stock because it's part of his benefits, and he does it. Some people don't. It's an optional choice. It doesn't mean that TD buys in stock. No, it's that his pay, part of it gets put into stock, so that it's an investment for retirement. And that's another thing you have to think about is retirement. What are you doing so that one day you can actually scale back on working? Because I don't like saying retirement is no longer working, because I think almost every retired person I know has some type of job. My mom works still, like every day of the week, and she's retired. So like, retirement to me is like you're reducing your stress in some way of the work you had for your whole career. And if you're able to do that, how are you going to live at that point? Do you have a plan for that? Do you have an idea of where you want to go?
And I like how you said that too, is the fact that, yeah, retirement's not like it used to be anymore. Because I think as humans, we've evolved. And I've heard a lot of people, and I've been to a lot of meetings where, our age, we aren't dying as young as we used to die back in the day. So a lot of us, we're not dying at 50, 60, 30 from back in the day. We're living to 60s, to 70s, 80s, and 90s, and still able to function. So retirement nowadays looks more like your career you retire from, but then you end up finding some other type of work that keeps you busy and that keeps you still a member of society and not just sitting around and not doing anything. And when we say that, it might not be a financially paid job. It might be volunteer work. It might be something else that fulfills you in order to make sure that you're leading your best life.
Exactly. And the thing is that one of the major things though that you need, and I think that's what was just said in chat. I'm just gonna remove this for a second so I can see what it says. So each person should have a credit card in their own name, not connected to their partner. If you don't, you won't have any credit history and might have trouble getting a credit card or loan if something happens to your partner. That is correct. And also, you should also alternate. If you're with a partner, you should alternate who owns what. So for example, I owned a car at one point. My name was on the car on the loan. He had his name on the Highlander, Toyota Highlander, and we alternated whose name was on certain things, so that each of us had different credits, get different items of credit on our credit report, so that we always in good standing. And that's another thing that I kind of want to bring up is, you know, when you get in situations where you can't, you're letting go of bills. So this is another story. Like I'll tell from the past. When I first met Jean-Luc, he used to deal with Rogers. Oh no, Bell. He was with a Bell customer at the time, and he had a satellite dish. And I think he's told the story before. And the satellite dish fell one night. There was a huge windstorm, and a satellite dish fell. And so he called Bell to have him fix it, and they were going to charge him $75. So he said, "Screw you guys! I'm not continuing with Bell. I'm going to Rogers. My husband, or my hus my husband, my boyfriend has Rod at the time. It was a boyfriend has Rogers, and we'll just switch to his Rogers." So he
Yeah,
canceled.
it was before our first wedding.
Yeah, before our first. Yeah, before our first wedding, eh, hun?
Yeah, before the first.
Okay. But he called Bell and he canceled all the accounts. And then when he got his bill, he said, "Screw it, I'm not paying this 75." Like, he was basically saying, because it was an early cancellation fee, he's like, "I'm not gonna pay. Let them call. Let them come after me." And I was like, "No, hun, that decision there. As long I know you're angry and I know you don't want to give them the money, and I totally understand that. But that one move can have repercussions for years later. That one move can mean that your name gets there's something that happens to your credit. And then when we apply to go buy a house, that you won't be able to buy the house because you were mad at that. Then at that point, we have to pay that off." And so he did. He still got them, given at the time of day. And don't get us going on the fact that they you won't explain it, hun. Explain that
It was
part.
funny. So I didn't remember what the exact total amount that I owed them was. So I was like, you know what? I'll pay seven. I think it was 75 and change. So I paid like $78 or something to this silly, just a little bit extra. And so they ended up sending me a check for the difference that I overpaid, and then the following month sent me a bill for $1.99. Which would have covered whatever I had paid if they would have just kept the money because there was another interest charge. I was like, "Are you flipping kidding me?" So I called them back and said, "I had given you extra money and you wasted $7 to send me three because that's how much it costs companies to send checks out in the mail." So it was just a silly, silly thing.
For those youngins out there, you had to pay bills with checks back in the
No. This is they sent me a check for
Oh,
the they sent me a check. I didn't pay them. I was online back then by then.
And funny enough, we're with Bell now today because we had Rogers after that, and we had problems with them too. So you know what? You can't never win with any of them.
It's another thing too. Sorry, I know this is a little off topic, but one of our real estate agents even said, don't stay with the same phone or internet company consistently. Shop around every couple of years. It's worth it because as a new customer, you always get end up getting better deals. And they can't stop you from like leaving one and going to another provider. And it's worth it if you're looking at trying to save
Especially
some
if your
money.
contract is done, if your contract is ending. Same with car
Same
insurance.
with car insurance, yeah.
And then Gwen said in chat that she did that, and she also had 7 years of hell. So I'm just trying to say, I know sometimes, you're in a situation where something happens, and you're like, I'm standing my ground. I'm not paying them. No, I understand. Believe me, I've been there. I don't want to pay them. But you know what? Nick is a rule follower, so Nick pays anyways, and then I just bitch and complain after and try to get it back in some other way, because you don't want to have that on your record. Anything that can happen to your credit score is just it haunts you for the rest, like it keeps haunting you for afterwards. And we're lucky, like I said, it was a journey for us to get here today. And I'm hoping tonight I talked to you enough about the journey. I'm going to show you my spreadsheet now to kind of show you guys how we do use it today, kind of quick walkthrough on how we use it, and I'll show you some examples of how it works. And if you guys want a sample of it, I can actually send I could probably create a copy of it, send it to you, and then make you the owner, and then you can actually use it if it's something that you're interested in using later. So I'm hoping that the history kind of gave you where we started and where we got to today. So the picture is you can change your financial health. We are a perfect example of changing our financial health. We started like even if I went back to my childhood, my parents were paycheck to paycheck. Like it was not growing up. We weren't exactly, we weren't house, we weren't poor, but we weren't, we didn't have the extravagances. We just got by. And so, I started my schooling. I paid my way through university. I got debt, but I was able to myself and with my husband figure out how to pay it all off and have the life we have today. Was it easy? No. Is a wellness journey easy? No. Is going to school to learn your career easy? No. So if you want the financial health, it's going to take some work, but the end result after a while is so much better than the work it takes.
And if you don't feel capable of doing it yourself, find a financial advisor. Find someone who knows what they're doing, even if it's someone you trust, like, and someone who's willing to help you out with it. There's nothing wrong with that. Don't find that that is a weakness. It's actually not. It's actually a strength. When you actually find someone who's able to help you and understands the world of finances, it makes a huge, huge difference. It really does. So.
So now I'll show you guys how I use my Google Sheet to do our finances. So this Google Sheet, the way it works is it kind of keeps track of all the stuff that happened in a specific month. So I'll show a full month. So at the top here, I have all of the income, all of our current status of our current accounts. So these would be all the accounts we these would be all your accounts, BMO, a bank account, anything that you currently have as cash that you can use on hand. So that's the first, actually, I'm going to zoom in a bit because I see some people trying to, I can zoom in a bit more for everybody. There we go. So up here is the actual amounts of income that you have in each bank account. So say I have 100 here. 200 here or 209. And I'll put 33,000. I don't have 33,000 in there. So I just put different accounts here. This is just stuff. So then up here, I have the amounts that I have currently, and below is what's going to happen in a month of April. So in the month of April, I'm going to pay $1,000. So I basically put it in here, everything that's coming in. I'm just putting different amounts here, and then I also put in below what is our expenses. But our expenses, I put in here to kind of say, okay, our mortgage is going to be 1,000, blah blah blah, and I put in all the amounts of everything we have coming out. At the bottom here, it actually calculates the total of each account at the end of the month, and then a total worth of what I'll have left. What this does now, it tells me how much money do I have left at the end of the month. If it's in the minus, it knows that I do not have enough money to pay my bills. If it's in the positive, then I'm like, okay, I know I have enough to pay my bills for this month. But what I also do is right here on my previous month, I have a little box here. This box is actually telling me next month, out of all my expenses that I have, which is, I'll show you right here. Sorry. And I have to teach some of you guys this. So that's why I'm showing you guys. There's a formula here, okay? So what I do is from an eight, see how it says C13, C28 here? So when I go to April, it's basically saying in April, it's calculating everything from C13 to C28. So it's checking to me to tell me, do I have enough money at the end of this month to pay my bills next month? So if this isn't a positive, I know, yes, I have enough money to pay 2 months now in terms of my expenses, what's going on this month plus my next month. But if it's in the positive, it's in the negative, I know I do not have enough money. We have to slow down. We have to save. And in April, I do the same thing. You'll see down here, I have another one here, which goes to May, which is May has the same information here. So what I do is every month I just copy this one over and I just update the one before to say, check the one from after that. And then I can calculate for me. So again, if anybody wants to use this, I might at some point, create a session on how to do stuff with sheets. If people have interest in this, I can show you guys quick little formulas how you guys can do this so that you guys can set up yourself some sheets. So if there's interest, let me know.
There was another thing that Nick used to do as well, as far as our pays would go in. He would not put in the exact amount of what our pay was. He'd actually
Underestimate.
underestimate our weekly pays in
So,
order for us to know that, okay, this is the minimum amount of we that we get paid, but there's an additional like $300 to what the actual pay would be. So I don't
for
know.
example, say your pay per month per pay is 166.62. So that's what you're getting paid this year. What I put on here would be 1500. So what I do is I always undercut a bit of my salary. Oh, that's really loud.
Sorry, thought I was muted.
Oh my God, that's loud. So what that does is it allows me some breathing room If you put the exact numbers, it might skew your amount so that you're so close that you might be too off. So something an unscheduled happens. Say, you someone's birthday unexpectedly happens, you have to send someone money or something, unexpected bill. So any of those things happen, you have kind of some cushion built in. And I do that for everything. So what I do also, so this is the sheet for your monthly calculations. So what I also have is utilities, loan, and mortgage sheet. So what this is every month, I actually keep track in here of what my amounts are. So what this does is at the end of the year, you'll see there's a total here at the end. It helps calculate for 2024 all the money I spent. And on my sheet that I've created, I have data all the way till 2008. So I actually see a progression of all of our bills and how much they've increased throughout the last 10 years almost, or 6 years, whatever amount of time I have. And so I can see how our bills have increased. And so what I do is I basically put in here all the money that every month bills are bills that we have to pay, regular bills. And what that does at the end, it calculates what our bills are. So again, this is another way to, for me to check how we're doing in terms of our bills. And actually, the way I do is my value here gets automatically put in the other place. But that's I won't show you guys that today. I'm just showing you guys that it's there. And I also have a debt, assets, and projection sheet. So what this is all the money we owe in loans. I'm just going to reduce the view zoom 100%. So this one here is a little larger. So what it does is a debt projections and an asset estimates. So what it does is, oh yeah, it doesn't count. Yeah. So what it does is up here is all our credit cards, then's all our loans, then's our mortgage, and it actually here puts what the amounts are as of today. Then each month I have amounts of what we're going to pay off throughout the year. Oh my God, hon. So what it does is at the end of the year, it does a total of what's going to be left, and then it also says here what the planned amount is for 2024. So what the final amount will be when 2024 ends. Then down here, your asset estimates is say you have RSPs, you have a pension, you have different things. Here is the current value, and this is how many much value say you deposit per month. Say you that's the amounts you do. These aren't even our amounts. And then this actually tells you if it figures out for you what will the amount be if you keep putting that much every month without interest, of course, approximately how much you'll have in a year from today. And then at the bottom here, I also have another section that actually calculates our assets. So this basically takes what we have in cash minus what we owe in our debt, our what our condo's worth, and then it tells us our net worth. So why is this sheet important? It gives me a snapshot of our financial health all the time. I always know how we're doing in money-wise. I never do not know. I update our sheet once every few days. I go in and just update the totals. I remove stuff that's been paid off, and then every month I add a new sheet and I fix all the stuff to make the new sheet. And so this is something that helps us to keep track of our finances. We never have. And also what it does is I actually have due dates on that sheet. You saw on the side where it says, on the one sheet where it says, payments coming out, there's actual numbers there. That's the dates that come out. It also gives me a reminder, oh, on the 5th I have this to pay off. On the 12th, I have that to pay off. And so it lists out all my bills and I know when to pay them off, including property taxes. Everything is in this one sheet, in this one spot. So it allows me, again, think about it. What did I tell you guys the last Sunday chat we had? Time is money. Financial health is money. If you need to always sit down and figure out what's going on all the time, it takes time. But if you have something that's built that's good for you, that encompasses all the information you need, and you just need to plug in the numbers all the time, you won't have to worry as much. You'll have something automatically giving you the information you need all the time. So this is why we do this, and it's worked really well. 16 years, we've been able to. I've never missed the bill except for once, a credit card bill. But everything else, we've always paid on time because I have this system. Let me
And you know what? It also makes you feel confident with how you feel. I know that sounds silly, but when you see it like laid out in this type of document, it's not like you're having to look at your bank accounts all the time and see where things are laid out. This is laid out specifically in a way that you will feel like you're able to know what's going on in your life, not only monthly, but annually, like every, you know what I mean? You have that security. And it does take some adjusting. like Nick says, I'm in the kitchen. He's on the finance sheet. I don't touch that finance sheet. If it's not something that you enjoy doing, I recommend you either doing it with your partner so that way you do it together, or if they are more into the number crunching, let them do it, but find a way that they can use something that you can actually go in and look at yourself as well. Because it is a two-way street, unless you guys have completely separate accounts and you guys live, your own, you have your own accounts and you do your own things. It is still doable that way as well.
It is an important point too. I want to share. Jean-Luc and I, like, I do the finances, but Jean-Luc looks at it whenever he wants. This sheet's available to him, so he can see in one snapshot. He just has to log into his bank and see what's going on. Actually, every time I ask him to log in, he's like, "Oh my God, what's my password? I haven't been in here in months," because I'm the one that goes in all the time and gets the information. And so he's able to go on the sheet and see, "Oh, okay, we're fine. Okay, these bills." Like, he never has to worry about anything because everything is already listed out. And even if something were to happen to me, he knows where to go to find the information he needs to keep. Well, you do. It's all on there. Like, all the bills that we pay, everything that we do is on this sheet. So he knows, okay, I know that a hydro bill is going to come out. This is going to come out. That's going to come out. It's all listed on there in some way. And so that's why we do it. It's, again, back to organization and back to what this whole series has been about, these last three sessions. In order to get time for self-care, you have to have time. Time is money. Time is fleeting, and time is also manageable and malleable in ways.
Well, we all sit there and say we never have enough time. Oh, I wish there was 25 hours in a day. You know what? 24 hours in a day is plenty. It's just how you use it and how you manage it. You could do so much in that day as long as you're making your day and the things that need to be a priority. It's not like it's going to be this every day. And it might take some adjusting at first in order for you to get used to it. And you might need to readjust this sheet to make it work for you. It's a good way on how to do some projections as well, as far as, if you want to save some money to put some money into RSPs before the end of the year in order to, save on your taxes and things like that. So keep things like that in mind too.
So yes, so I hope you guys enjoyed tonight's session. So, like I said, self-care is important. Find the time and the way for you guys to time for a popsicle, Jean-Luc. Yeah, you can hear it in his voice, poor guy. And that's I'm glad he was like, I'm glad he's on with me tonight, because we were thinking the other day, like, how am I going to do this on my own? So today I was like, I got an idea, because we had an idea together of what we would do, but he can't. Like, you couldn't do this with me the whole hour. So that's why this topic was kind of perfect to go with the end of our series on self-care. So remember, self-care is what you want to do, is what, the things that you think are self-care to you. I'm not going to tell you go get a massage. I'm not going to tell you go do this. I'm not going to tell you go sit in the forest and breathe the air for 20 minutes. I'm not going to tell you what relaxation is to you. You know what relaxation is to you. I don't have to tell you that, right? Anyways, the rest of the social media world is telling you what relaxing is. They're giving you many examples out there. What I'm trying to give you, or what we're trying to give you, is why it's important, how to make time for it, and also how to help yourself financially to be able to do some of the things you want to do. So I hope this was a good session. Thanks so much for joining me. Thanks, Jean-Nic, for being my co-host. And I'm crossing my fingers. Step tomorrow morning.
And as Nick mentioned, if you're interested in getting a copy, just send an email to p3 at admin at p3 experience.
I actually think what I'm going to do, hon, is I'm actually going to create a session about it before I send it out, because I think I need to teach some of you guys how to use it. So what I'll do is I'll create a session at some point to teach you some Excel, some sheets, formulas, and things like that. Then I'll show you guys the sheet. Well, I actually do kind of like a, I'll do like a session that we can actually do exercises together. So I'll work on something like that for the future. So it'll take me a few weeks to get that done, but I'll get something together to show you guys. And Jean-Luc has to take his medication. We're getting dinged right now, 8:45. On that note, have a great night, everybody. Thanks for joining me, and have a good evening.
I'm gonna grind my pills now. since I can't take them whole.